Sometimes we get the idea that if a man were a real Christian, he should be able to live in such a way as never to arouse any opposition to what he is doing. And every now and again you get the impression that if people were doing absolutely right, they'd never have any trouble. Now, you know, when you're thinking things like that, you may be very generous in your mind, and you may wish to honor God, but actually you're putting a great burden on sincere people. Because the truth of the matter is this, that if you stand out in your own way, as humbly as you know how, for the things that are right and true and good, there are going to be people who will take offense, and they're going to build up an accusation against you that will give you trouble whether you want it or not. And they will find all manner of things to say about you. You know, that's one of the things about human nature. If I just don't like a man, I can think of a whole lot of things about him that are just not nice and not good. And if I keep on thinking about them, I can build them up to where I can accuse him of something that isn't even true. And other people can do it with you. And it's a shock sometimes to find out when you're going along with your work that someone has taken up something you've done or something you've said and given it an entirely wrong impression and has actually aroused serious opposition to you among well-meaning people, perhaps, certainly average folks, who really think you must be no good if this thing can be said about you, altogether forgetting that anybody can say anything about anybody that they want to. And when it is once said, it gets around and it arouses people's minds and arouses all kinds of action and reaction against you. Now, this is seen in the case of the Apostle Paul. As we have been studying along now and coming to chapter 21 in the book of Acts, we have been following Paul in this third journey of his. We have been following him along, and we see how he has been determined to go back to Jerusalem to be there at the time of Pentecost. He wanted to be there, and I'm sure that he might be able to tell the church in Jerusalem all the wonderful things that God had done for him. And if we've been studying along in this material about Paul, I know we've been impressed all the way through with the earnestness and the sincerity and the unselfishness of this man who was putting himself out even unto death on behalf of the other people that they might come to know the gospel. Now, we had come down in chapter 21, and I had read on through to verse 30 with you, but I want you to notice in verse 28, 29, 30, look again at the accusation that was leveled against Paul in public. In verse 28, this is what we read. These Jews, which were from Asia, when they saw him in the temple, they stirred up all the people, laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law, and this place, and further, brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place." That wasn't true. That is absolutely not true, but they shouted it out loud. Who's going to be able to get up and say they're wrong? It's so easy to say a thing, it's so hard to deny it. Any time that anything is said about you that's not true, you're put on the defensive. When a man gets up and says about anything, it's not true. He just acts all the time, he's defending himself. And then, what will people think? And you know how people are. I'm one of them, and you're just the same. How easy it is to say, well, where there's all that much smoke, there must be some fire. And you know perfectly well, in this case, the only fire there was the animosity of these people against him, their hostility against him. And he just endured this thing. No wonder the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." That is because you're standing up for my truth. This is what they said about him. Said he had brought Greeks into the temple. Now look at verse 29. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus and Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. They had likely seen Paul walking on the street with Trophimus and Ephesian, who was a Gentile. And, of course, between the Jews and Gentiles, there was a real social breach between the two. They didn't have anything to do with each other. And Paul did, I'm sure, attract attention because he was walking with an Ephesian on the public street. That's one thing. Then they supposed that he took him into the temple, which was entirely wrong. But even if it was entirely wrong, they could say it. And they did say it, and they aroused the people. Verse 30 says, all the city was moved, and the people ran together. And they took Paul, drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. That is to say, when that riot broke out, the people that had charged the temple, they just shut the doors, and as it were, they ended business for the day. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band, which is to say the police chief. The city of Jerusalem was being occupied by Roman soldiers, and the Roman soldiers kept order. And in case of a riot of any kind, they'd be the ones called on. This was the case here. And tidings came to the chief captain that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, that there was a riot, who immediately took soldiers and centurions, that's soldiers and officers, and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating off Paul. In other words, when the Jews had been beating Paul, when they saw the army coming, they ran away. Then the chief captain came near and took him, and commanded him to be bound with two chains. Today they'd handcuff him. After all, he seemed to be the one that was involved, and there seemed to be trouble with him, so they just arrested him and handcuffed him, and demanded who he was and what he had done. Some cried one thing, some another, among the multitude, when he could not know the certainty for the tumult. He commanded him to be carried into the castle, which we would say into the courthouse. Into the city hall, and decided that then he would be able to get to it. And when he was come upon the stairs, going up into the city hall, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. In other words, the soldiers made a sort of a flying wedge. They surrounded Paul in such a way that nobody could get to him, because everybody was just infuriated in their mob violence and rage to kill him. For the multitude followed after, crying, away with him. And while we're reading all this, let us not forget, this whole thing, this whole stir, this whole riot, was based upon false accusation. When I say it was based upon false accusation, we have to recognize that isn't what it sprang from. It sprang from prejudice, from deep-rooted opposition and hostility. And as far as the public is concerned, just the way in which they are, they'll follow the loudest voice and the most exciting thing. That's what they will do. And the real opposition against Paul was because he was preaching the gospel. But, as an actual matter of fact, the incident itself developed just simply because he had been telling the truth and because certain men lied about him and publicly charged him falsely. What could Paul say? For the multitude of the people followed after him, crying, away with him. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, as when they were taking him into the city hall, into the courthouse, he said unto the chief captain, the police chief, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? He was surprised. I think up till that time Paul hadn't said anything. If you wonder about the whole situation, of course I don't want to imagine too much, but trying to picture the whole situation, I wouldn't be a bit surprised Paul was unconscious. They were beating him. They likely had him so hammered down that he couldn't say anything. And so much excitement and so much going on, the chances are the officers and the soldiers didn't even want to talk to him. He was considered to be the culprit. And now they were carrying him in, he spoke up, spoke to the head of the police chief himself. May I speak to you? And when this man said, what? Can you talk Greek? Art thou not that Egyptian which before these days madest an uproar? Ledest out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? He misunderstood him as a case of mistaken identity. The police chief thought this was a gangster, with all this opposition to him and all this rioting going on. And he said, I thought you were that Egyptian that caused all this trouble that was recently here in the city and created all this rioting and this uproar. But Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia. Now, the city of Tarsus was an important city. Cilicia was an outlying area, like a state or a province, out from Jerusalem, and largely peopled with Greeks. He says, a citizen of no mean city, that is, I came from an important place. I have, my background is with educated, cultured people. And I beseech you, suffer me to speak unto the people. Give me the privilege of just talking to these folks. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, and then he began his defense. You see, when you think about a thing like this, perhaps some of you may wonder, as we would study this, and I'll raise the question this way. Someone might ask, should Paul have gone to Jerusalem? Remember that he had been warned all the time there'd be trouble. Should he have gone to Jerusalem? If he'd stayed away, this trouble wouldn't have happened. Shall we blame him? Well, let's ask ourselves this question. What was Paul in the world to do? What was Paul really seeking to accomplish? And you will have in mind, he was to minister the gospel. He was to declare the word of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole world. He was to turn people from the power of Satan unto God. He was to turn them from darkness to light. He was to bring them out of death into life. Who? The people. What people? His people. Any people. Every people. Anywhere. And Paul had this kind of feeling about the gospel. He'd go to the very center of things. Now, Jerusalem was a capital city of Judea. It was an important place. It was where the temple was. It was at the very center of things, and Paul would take the gospel right in there and set it out before the people. Sure, there'd be trouble. He expected that. Sure, he would run into difficulty. He expected that. I'm not sure we expected to be lied about, but I don't think he would be too much surprised by that. But this was what he wanted to do. In other words, he thought it was important that he would carry the gospel to the very door of the opposition. Now, I know you don't want to disturb people, and you don't want to arouse them, you don't want to agitate them, you don't want to irritate them, you don't want to cause a lot of trouble, but you won't be able to please people and be true to the Lord. There will be times you'll have to stand out for the truth, even though there are people that are opposed to it, and if you're called upon to speak and to teach, you'll just have to tell the truth for the sake of the gospel. Our God and Heavenly Father, give us the disposition to be wise, to be careful, but to be faithful unto thee. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.